The psalmist said, strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Honor and majesty are before him. You know, you're being watched all the time. All the time. Young people, you never know what eyes are on you. A preacher came to me and he said, he wrote me a note. He came to me too and he said, you're my hero. Of course, immediately I knew he was a smart, discerning type fella. He said, you're my hero. He said, you're my favorite preacher. And he said, I'll tell you why. Not so much because of your preaching, though he said, I like to hear you preach. But I've watched your children. I was at Bill Rice Ranch, he said. And I noticed a boy there that I thought was a pretty good guy. And I watched the fella. He's a good athlete and worked hard and was a soul winner. And said, I asked, who's that young fella? And somebody said, that's Dr. Jack Hiles' son, David. And boy, when I heard that he was watching him, I thought, oh, good night, there goes my ministry. But that's Dr. Jack Hiles' son, David. The same preacher said, I was in Chattanooga, Tennessee. And said, I saw a little lady come in J.C. Penney Company. And somebody said, that's Dr. Jack Hiles' daughter, Becky Smith. What a name, Smith. Couldn't you marry somebody with a more exciting name? But anyway, I did not say that. We have over 100 Smiths in our church. I can get voted out for that. But he said, I decided to follow her. And Becky didn't know that. But she was being watched everywhere she went. And the fellow said, she was gracious. She was appropriate, proper, in every respect. And I said, I admire Dr. Jack Hiles even more. It was Harvey Springer who used to say, don't tell me how many you had in Sunday school. Let me see your kids. Don't tell me how many you had in Sunday school. Let me see your kids. You know, I'm going to tell you tonight, and I preach this sermon a lot, but I don't think I've ever preached it with as much desire for it to get over and do the job as tonight. People often ask me, what do you preach when you're away from home? Well, this is what I preach when I preach a type sermon I preach when I preach. It won't be like tonight. I'll be a little meaner tonight. But when I preach a convocation or a commencement address or something, this kind of message. But the thing I want the most for our people is for us to have, and especially for our young people, for us to have the proper balance in the Christian life. We've stressed two words to our kids in these 12 years, appropriate and mature, or perfect. Appropriate or perfect. Well-rounded. I just rejoice when I hear our children, young people sing, and do it properly, and dress properly, and at the same time have conviction and courage and stand for what's right and stand against what's wrong. The proper balance. And that's why the psalmist said, honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Notice now the right proportion. The right, both strength and beauty. Did you ever notice how hard it is to be strong and beautiful? Looking over here at the young people tonight, those that are beautiful look sort of weak, and those that are strong look sort of dumb and ugly. It's hard to get in the same personality. For example, look at Dr. Billings, how smart he is and how ugly. Look at Walla Beebe, how pretty and how dumb. It's hard to get in the same personality exactly what's in Brother Fisk and me. And you deserve some honor tonight. You've not been honored enough. Brother Streeter, God bless you. I hope you'll be like we are someday too. But it's hard to get in the same personality, the right blend between strength and beauty. On one side, here's a Christian. He hates everything. Boy, he wouldn't smoke, and he wouldn't spit on the sidewalk, and he wouldn't talk on the phone over 3 minutes at a time, and he wouldn't touch a sinner with a 10-foot pole, and he wouldn't go to the picture show, and he wouldn't dance, but he just hates everybody he sees. He has strength, but he doesn't have beauty. On the other hand, here's a Christian. He loves everybody. The devil, rattlesnakes, picture shows, movies, everything. He loves everybody. He has the beauty, but he doesn't have the strength. The psalmist one day was looking at the temple, the most sacred spot to all of the Jews. The psalmist looked at the temple and he said, look at that building. That building has strength, but it also has beauty. That building has honor, but it also has majesty. There are other strange bedfellows in the Bible. For example, the Bible says they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. Have you ever noticed how hard it is to get a proper balance between knowledge and zeal? Here's a fellow on fire for God. He's zealous. He doesn't know anything. Here's a fellow. He has a Ph.D. He's dead as he can be. Not Jude. Nothing personal there. But, for example, Dr. Cederholm, have you ever known a scholar who was on fire for God? Or have you ever known an evangelist who could read and write? It's so hard to find the proper balance. Here's a guy that's a flame for God. But he doesn't know a great deal. Here's a fellow who knows Greek and Hebrew and can quote it like Mary had a little lamb. And he's as dead as he can be. The Bible says we ought to have zeal and knowledge, strength and beauty, honor and majesty in the same personality. Another scripture akin to this is found in John 1:14. It says that, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, that's Jesus. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Isn't that wonderful? Jesus was full of grace and truth. Did you know that I have a hard time, and I dare say you do too, when I get enough grace, I lose the truth. When I get enough truth, I lose the grace. Do you have that problem? You say, I'll tell you what, I'm going to stand at school. I'm going to stand at work. I'm not going to gamble. I'm not going to drink. I'm not going to run with the wrong crowd. I'm going to stand for what's right and against what's wrong. But you lose your grace, don't you? And you get as mean as the devil. And you want to stick old ladies and eyeballs with ice picks and trip old men across busy streets and push little children down steep hills in wheelchairs. And you get as mean as the devil. And so you say, I better get more loving. I'm mean. Boy, I better get more grace. And so you work on the grace, and I work on the grace, and I say to myself, Jack, boy, you were mean last Sunday night. Man alive, you better be sweet. And you know what? When I get the amount of grace I want to join the National Council of Churches. Our deacons last night went to a church in the area and looked around and sort of see what was going on about some business. And up on a little plaque on the wall, this church is affiliated with the National Council of Churches, and this plaque signifies it. And John Finley said, Brother House, why don't we have one of those? And by the way, when I think about why we don't, I lose my grace and get full of truth. Jesus was full of grace and truth. He stood, and yet he stood lovingly. He did not yield, and yet he had grace. He had the tenderness when he said, suffer little children, forbid them not to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. But that same loving, gracious Savior who said, come unto me and I'll give you rest, he also took the cords and drove the money changers out of the temple and said, don't make my house a den of thieves, and turned the tables over and money went everywhere. He had grace and truth. Young people, that's what I want for you more than I want anything in all the world. I want you to have the courage of truth and the sweetness of grace. I want you to have the fire of zeal and yet the gift of knowledge. I want you to have the strength of character and yet honor. I want you to have majesty and honor, strength and beauty, zeal and knowledge, grace and truth, all in the same personality. That's what I want for you. We think of the strong with its solidity and find it difficult to associate it with loveliness. We think of the beautiful as being fragile and delicate. So the psalmist, now here's the picture of the 96th Psalm. Listen carefully, I'll give it to you. The psalmist looks and he says, look at that. You know, everybody ought to love. Dr. Benning said a while ago, I hope heaven is a little bit like First Baptist Church. Well, I don't think it'd be this good, but it's going to be wonderful. And that's what Fanny Crosby wrote when she said, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. She said, now, it's a foretaste. That's what John Peterson meant when he wrote, heaven came down and glory filled my soul. And heaven will be a lot like the First Baptist Church. And heaven will be a lot like sweet peace of God's people and the fellowship that the saints enjoy on earth. But the house of God, where he assembled, it ought to always be a sweet place to us. And so the psalmist looked at the temple, that beautiful, magnificent structure. And he said, I see in that building two things. I see first strength. But he said, I also notice it does not forfeit the beauty. One need not forfeit beauty to have strength, and one need not forfeit strength to have beauty. For in the same person can dwell both strength and beauty, both grace and truth, both zeal and knowledge, both honor and majesty. In the same personality, there can dwell both love and hate. And that's what I want our kids to have. I'll have to say that as these children sang a while ago, and as they gave their talks, wasn't that wonderful? God bless them. My mind was filled with memories when they'd been to my office and said, Preacher, what should I do about this? And I said, you ought not to do it. And they said, okay, preacher. And they've gone to places where it was hard, and they've stood with the truth and conviction and courage of a Daniel or a Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And yet they get up here like they did a while ago with loveliness and grace and charm and propriety. And thank God for the fact. Thank God some of you turn out okay. and they do. And around the country, our young people are serving. And that's what we want for you. Strength and duty, honor and majesty, zeal and knowledge, hate and love, and all grace and truth. So the psalmist noticed, and as he looked at the marble pillars, those great, massive pillars of the temple, and yet at the top of those pillars, there were exquisite carvings, and the psalmist said, strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. As the psalmist looked at that porch, upheld with the famous pillars of bronze, and at the top of those pillars of bronze, there was delicate lily work engraved. The psalmist noticed those pillars of bronze and that lily work delicately engraved, and he said, strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. The psalmist looked at the massive stones and yet the delicate coverings of cherubim. And as the psalmist saw those stones, huge, giant stones, and yet the cherubim, a beaten cherubim in the temple, the psalmist said, strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. When the psalmist saw the cedars of Lebanon, and yet the cedars of Lebanon only were served as the exterior for an interior that was covered with pure gold. And as the psalmist saw those massive cedars and the pure gold of the interior, he said both strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. When the psalmist saw the immense stone foundations, and yet the figures of palm trees on the foundation, the psalmist saw the strength of those stone foundations, yet the palm trees, the psalmist said, strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. When the psalmist saw the unbelievable size and yet the ornate flowers, he said, look, strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. When the psalmist saw the great cost and yet utensils elaborately ornamented, the psalmist said, both strength and beauty are in the house of God. When he saw the high arch and yet the precious stones gleaming midst the gold, he said, strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. When he saw the high walls and yet the Tyrian tapestry on every side, he said, strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. And the psalmist one day, he looked at the house of God, and maybe he said something like he said when he said, how amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. Do you like to drive by the church building? Huh? How many of you, when you go downtown, you drive out of the way sometime just to come by and look at the church? Huh? I like to drive by and see which letter's out of the sign out there next, don't you? And just see what's going on around here. And I love to come in the building when it's empty. Just walk in here and remember the blessings of God and how good God has been. And that's the way the psalmist was. One time he said, like as a hart panteth after the water brook, so thirsteth my soul after thee, O God. Again he said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Again he said, how amiable, how friendly, how warm are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. And the psalmist got back and looked at the temple, and he said, look at the strength of that temple. Look at that foundation. Look at those walls. Look at that arch. Look at those pillars. Look at the cross. Look at the big stone. And yet, notice the lily work. And look at the ornate flowers. And look at the Tyrian tapestry. And look at the interior of gold. And look at the beaten cherubim. The psalmist said, that's one building where you have both strength and beauty. That's no warehouse. That's as strong as a warehouse. But it's also no sanctuary. It's as beautiful as a sanctuary and as strong as a warehouse, wrapped up in the same package. And now today, ladies and gentlemen, there still is a temple. God still has his temple. The temple today is not in Jerusalem. The temple today is not on Solomon's site. The temple today is not a building made with hands. That's why we don't have a fear. The Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him, because this building is not God's temple. What is the temple today? What is the temple of 1971? It's the body of the believer. 1 Corinthians 6:19, 2 Corinthians 6:17, Romans 8:9. Other scriptures teach us that the temple today is the body of the believer. I heard a preacher say this week, he was a very nice fellow, he was sort of dumb, but a very nice fellow, and he said, I want my young people to enjoy the worship experience. And he had one pulpit over here and one pulpit over here, and a couple of candles. They have to figure out what they do. A couple of candles in the middle. And I want my young people to enjoy the worship experience. Don't say amen now. That's no time to say amen. Now, the truth is, what that kind of garbage teaches is that the church house is a holy and sacred place. and that God lives here. And we come by and see how God's doing every Sunday morning. And we come into thy presence this morning, O God, in this August day. First place, not an August day, it's a May day. And this August day, and we come into thy presence, and the Lord is in his holy temple. No, the Lord is not in a building. God does not live in this building right here any more than he lives in your kitchen. He lives in the body of the believer. He lives here, in the body. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he's living, whatever men may say. I see his hand of mercy. I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always near. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives. He lives. Salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. Here's the temple right here. Here's the temple. Now then, if that be true, that beautiful, magnificent structure setting on in Solomon's site in Jerusalem had both strength and beauty, the strength of the foundation and yet the beauty of the tapestry, the strength of the high walls and yet the beauty of the daily work, the strength of the big stones and yet the beaten cherubim, the strength of the great pillars and yet the beautiful, beautiful, precious stones gleaming midst the gold. If that was in the temple of old, that same thing ought to be in the temple today. Your body, your life, young people, your lives, all be wrapped up with strength and beauty. Strength and beauty. You'll forgive me. There's some awards I'd like to give to our high school kids. I won't go into it a great deal, but I was looking at you a while ago as we're singing, young'uns. God bless you. You think I hate you, don't you? The way I holler at you and scream at you. And so forth. But I don't. I love you. I doubt if you know how much we love you. And Dr. Billings, oh, God bless the way he's handled the children. He came to the office. I mentioned the other day. He came to the office, and he said, "Preacher, encourage me. I'm down in the dumps. I'm about to go out of town." And he said, I did something I don't want to do. And I said, "What?" Yes. He said, "I had to expel somebody from school, and I didn't want to." And by the way, bless his heart, he's getting so soft-hearted, he'd let Al Capone come if I'd let him. He came here, he was mean as the devil. And now, he's a sorry. I mean, he's a nice guy. But, no, really, a soft heart. And he didn't want to do it. And we do love you. Dr. Billings loves you, and I love you, and the teachers love you, and your parents love you, and we've tried, by God's grace, to help you. And I was thinking, as I'm looking at you, I'd like to give Randy Lanoue some kind of an award. I won't tell you why, but I would. I'd like to give Randy Lanoue. I'd like to give David Colbert, who did such a good job. I thought he was going to preach for a while, didn't you? And I'd like to give David an award. David, in some respects, has been my boy. David, his mother has had to rear him. And if David gets the car, he has to come and check with me. And if David, back yonder several years ago, if David had a date, he had to come and check with me. And his brother said, "David, Brother Howell says you can do it, you can do it. Brother Howell says you can't do it, you can't do it." He comes into me and says, "Brother Howell, can I have the car?" And so forth. And God bless him. And as he stood a while ago, memories fill my soul. You know, I said last Sunday morning, that's the pay we want. That's what we want. That's the pay. That's our salary. Our dreams fulfilled. Because we want to see in you, not a bunch of, and I mean this, not a bunch of bigoted fundamentalists who don't love anybody and who hate everybody, and yet not a bunch of namby-pamby new evangelicals that hate nothing and love the devil and love rattlesnakes and love communism and love error. I want to turn out here a group of young people who stand against wrong and stand for America and stand for the Bible and hate communism and hate socialism and hate the dirty hippie crowd and hate the rotten things that are destroying our America and hate the revolutionary epidemic and hate the dope traffic and hate the liquor traffic and stand for right and against wrong. But at the same time, I want you to be the sweetest and lovingest and kindest and most gracious kids in all the world. I want folks to look at our young people and say, there are some young people who are Americans, who are clean, who are decent, who are honorable. And yet there are some young people that know how to behave, they know how to dress, and they know how to speak, and they know how to be gracious, and they know how to be appropriate. I've often said, I want our young people, older people too for that matter, but I want our young people to know how to act at a ball game as well, and also at a tee. Now, I don't want any of our kids to enjoy a tee as much as a ball game, or I'll wring your neck. But I want you to know how to act. I want you to know how to dress, how to behave, and how to act in any area of life that is right and not embarrass yourself or your hosts. For example, I'm dressed tonight in a black suit. If I had a casket, I'd be ready to go. Only person that looked deader than me a while ago was the two fellows sat over here that had on dresses. Thank God the Bible says a man shall not wear things that pertain to a woman. I would have worn one, but mine didn't fit too well. But anyway, but I want our kids to know how to dress. I went out, now when I go out and play ball, we have a picnic, I'll wear a sports shirt and a pair of slacks. Our softball team had a game several years ago. We have a softball team here, Dr. Cedarholm. We don't think it's a sin. We think it's a sin to win a game. We won a game in 1938, I think it was. I went out one time to play a little softball and went out here to Riverside Park. And I had a sports shirt on and a pair of slacks and I think it's yellow slacks and a white shirt. So I got the ball, and the pastor of the other church was there. And he was dressed exactly like I'm dressed tonight, except he didn't have that. And that's the way he looked. Isn't that awful? Can you feature a guy going out in public looking like that? But anyway, that's more for show than it is for blow. I can't cry tonight. I'm not prepared. I wish I hadn't taken it out now. But anyway, now back to the baccalaureate, sir. This preacher was dressed with a black suit. Out to play ball now. Out to play ball. Had a black suit, black shoes, black socks, black tie. And I said, "Hey, let's play some catch." And he said, "Okay." And so I got the ball and I underhanded, and he goes. And then when he threw it back, he went. And his people shook their heads over on the side like that. Now, I want our young people to know how to play ball and yet how to behave at a tee. I want our young folks to know how to cheer. And then I want them to know how to be nice and courteous when the game's over. I want our boys to know how to play and play to win and play hard. And I like the spirit. I went to a game, they're 47 points behind. And then 2 minutes to play and they said, "We will win!" And I said, "Such great faith I've not seen, no, not in all Israel." But I want our boys to know how to do that and play to win. David is watching another couple teams. David and I watched a couple teams play in the tournament out there. And David said, "Dad," he said, "those guys that are losing, they're good losers." He said, "Well, they're talking nice to those guys." He said, "Boy, I never would lose like that." I told our folks one time I saw a tennis match on television. When the match was over, a guy lost, and he went and he jumped over the net and reached out and put his hand out and smiled and patted the guy on the back. And I said to David, "Don't you ever do that. If a guy ever beat you in tennis, jump across that net and take that thing and plow him over the head with it." No, that's not quite right. But I want you while you play to feel that way. And yet when it's all over, go talk to the fellow and shake his hand. I want you young ladies to know how to dress appropriately. I want you to know how to say no to the wild hands and the wicked glances of evil minds and evil eyes. I want you young boys to know how to play hard. And I want you to know how to rope a horse and ride a horse and throw a baseball and shoot a basket and throw a football. I want you to know how to go hunting and fishing. But at the same time, I want you to know how to wear a tuxedo and do it properly and walk gracefully like a man, yet like a gentleman. Strength and duty. But now I'm going to say something to say. Notice the order. Strength first, duty second. Not duty first, strength first. It is more important that a young person have strength than beauty. If you can't have both, have the strength. Far easier it is to beautify the useful rather than to make useful the beautiful. So if you can't have both strength and beauty, have the strength. In other words, if you got to be mean to be right, then be mean. Let's take a few examples. I'd rather be a fellow who's an old goat, mad at everybody all the time, but who stands for the Bible and stands for Jesus Christ, than a fellow who denies the Bible, denies Christ, and is always sweet and kind. Let's take, and I don't want to think about old goats, I don't think about Carl McIntyre immediately, but people oftentimes say to me, "Carl McIntyre, he's just always fighting somebody." But I'd rather fellow fight for what's right than love for what's wrong. I'd rather fight in for the right than a love in for the wrong, hadn't you? Carl McIntyre. Now, when I swat a fly, I usually use a fly swatter. Carl McIntyre kills a fly. He drops a 50-megaton bomb on it. And the fallout kills everything within miles around. But he gets the fly! Now, to me, why don't you use some spray? But now, McIntyre just kills everybody within... friend and foe. But mark me down for McIntyre, please. Mark me down for McIntyre. Why? Because I'd rather do right wrongly than wrong rightly. Now, I'd rather do right rightly. I'd rather be like the Quaker who said, I would not hurt thee. I would do thee no ill. I would not lift up my hand to harm thee. But thou art standing, I'm about to shoot. Or like the Quaker who said to his horse. His horse wouldn't budge, and he tried to plow, and the old horse wouldn't go, and the Quaker said, I would do thee no harm, horse. But if you don't move when I speak to thee, I will sell thee to a Baptist, and he'll take care of you. Now, I'd rather do right rightly, but I have far more respect for the old hellfire and brimstone preacher who breathes fire and is mad at everybody around him than I do for a fella who denies the Bible and denies the virgin birth and denies the Savior and denies decency and goes along with the hippie crowd and goes along with revolution. Give me the old-fashioned, fundamental, fighting preacher who takes a stand against wrong and for right. Strength is more important than duty. Now, but bear in mind, I want you to have both. But I'd rather for you to have strength than beauty and no strength. I've often said this. It is more important to have the right position than to have the right disposition. Now, I'd like to have the right disposition and the right position. But the tragic thing is we like folks more who have good dispositions and we don't care that much about their position. You meet some preacher and here's what you say about it. Isn't he a nice fella? Why don't you say, isn't he a right fella? You know, I like him. He's so nice. Now, I think that's wonderful, but I want to find out what he stands for first. I like the old Texan whose son went off to college. He came back home, and the Texan farmer was plowing in the field, and the farmer next farmer said, hey, I understand your son done got off and gone to the city and got some learning. This old hillbilly Texan said, and all Texans aren't hillbillies. I don't know any of them aren't, but they say some of them aren't. But he said, as I understand, your son's going off to get some learning. He said, man, he sure is. He said, you ain't never heard such learning as that kid's got. He said, what did he learn in college? He said, he's been gone just 1 year and done learn a foreign language. Well, he said, he has. What's the foreign language? He said, trigonometry. He said, speak some to trigonometry. Speak some of that language. He said, power square. Well, he said, power not square. Power round. Cornbread or square. And then he said, you see any improvement in your son? And the farmer said, yeah. He said, you know what? Before my boy went to college, he'd plow with the old mule, and he'd say when he got to the end of the row, whoa, Reb, turn around and get up. You know what he says now? He says, halt, Rebecca, pivot, and proceed. Now, if the mule turn around and get up, I don't mind him saying, halt, Rebecca. I like what Dr. Bob Jones Sr. used to say. He said, a fellow said, I seen all the time. I done, and I have did, and I seen, and I have saw. He said, I'd rather the fellow say I seen that seen something and say I have seen, they ain't seen nothing. Now, I think it's best to say I have seen. I think it is. If you can't say I have seen and see, then say I seen. Dr. Bob used to say, he said, I knew a fellow cursed all the time. Said he just cursed and swore all the time, but said he never did curse anybody, didn't need a cussing. Now, I'm saying, young people, have courage, have conviction, dare to be a Daniel, be a Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So learn to say no, learn to stand for what's right, learn to say no to what's wrong, learn to resist temptation, yield not to temptation, for yielding is sin. Each victory will help you, some other to win. Strike gainfully onward, dark passions subdue. Look ever to Jesus, he'll carry you through. Stand for what's right,
The whole world does wrong, you do right. The whole world wears mini skirts, you wear decent length skirts. If the whole world wears long hippie hair, you have a haircut. If the whole world takes dope, you be clean. If the whole world goes to hell, you go to heaven. I charge you tonight to stand, stand, stand. Strength. You're right, kids, when you said it's more important to have character than talent. One person said it's more important to have characters than talent. We have that too here at First Baptist Church. Just look on the platform. But I'd 10,000 times rather you have character than to have talent. I go to these colleges. I'll preach this sermon at Bob Jones University. And I say to the professors, I say, we give you our kids. And you teach them opera. That's okay. Teach them symphony music. That's okay. Teach them Bach, Beethoven, Mozart. I can't think of any more. Teach them the classics. I love them. But I say to those teachers, don't you dare, while you teach them the arts and the sciences and the classics, don't you steal Amazing Grace from our kids. Let them have Amazing Grace and Mozart Symphony. Let them have Chaucer, but don't steal John 3:16 from them. Teach them one dot of freely, with a short of sote, the doth of March is pierced the rothy and bothered every vein in speech before. Teach them William Colling and Bryan, Thanatopsis, so live that when thy summons comes to join the innumerable caravan that sweeps to the endless portals of death, thou go not as the quarry slave at night, scourged to his dungeon, but sustained and soothed with an unfaltering trust, approach thy grave as one who wraps the drapery of his couch about him and lies down to pleasant dreams. Teach them that! Teach them that! But don't steal the mourner's bits from them! Don't steal their convictions. Strength! Strength is in the sanctuary. That beauty is no good unless it's upheld by strength. And your charm, and your poise, and your talent is no good unless there's character and honor and integrity and decency and virtue. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. All of you heard me tell the story about the preacher I went to college with that got up one morning and preached on the devil and got so mad at the devil he cussed him out. I mean with a blue streak. I mean dirty, vulgar words. He said, you know what I think about the devil? He put Jesus on the cross and put those nails in his hands and feet and put that crown of thorns on his head and that spear in his side and they plucked his beard and the dog licked his wound. He said, you know what I think of the devil? He's a blankety blank of the son of a blankety blank blank of blank blank blank. And he cursed a blue streak. Now, he closed his Bible and walked out the door in shame, got in his car and drove off. The audience sat stunned for a while. This really happened. East Texas, Red River County. Audience sat stunned for a while. Wasn't long until the deacon chairman got up and looked out. And he said, folks, I heard it too. Our pastor cursed. Oh, but he said our pastor was a wicked man before he got saved. And all of us know. And he said, I'll be honest with you. What he said about the devil, that's exactly the way I feel about the devil. Let's call him back and give him a raise and tell him we love him. And they called him back. Now, you don't try that for a raise and pay. It won't work around here. But you know what I mean? This, I've got more respect for a preacher that'll cuss the devil with dirty, vulgar language than I have a preacher that doesn't read the Bible as the inspired word of God. Strength. 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 Little lady sat over here one night, had a visitor with her. I was preaching along like I am now, and the little lady said, who's he mad at? And the little lady looked over and said, he's not mad, he's just the way, it's just the way he preaches. And I heard about it, and I preached the next Sunday night on I Am Mad Too. I Am Mad Too. Let me say this. That's one reason why we have a Christian school. Not only, listen to me, not only are the public schools turning out young people who are immoral, but they're not turning out young people who are cultured and refined. The day was when the fundamentalist preacher was considered uncouth by the educators, and today the educators are considered uncouth by the fundamentalist preacher. There was a day when the educators knew how to dress properly and the best behaved and the most appropriate people and the most cultured people went to the university. And now the zoo looks more refined than the average university. I went up to the Western Michigan University and preached the other night on the campus there for a Michigan Sunday School convention. And I watched the professors and the students walk by, and I felt like I ought to pay. It's tragic. I mean, I want you to have strength, but I also want you to have beauty. The man who does not bathe is not educated. The man who does not have clean hair is not educated. The man who does not wear appropriate clothes is not educated. The fellow who wears dirty clothes and dirty shirts and unpressed blue jeans is not educated. The fellow who wears sandals, the fellow who gets on television with clothes that we used to plow in the field with is not cultured. He's not refined. He's not educated. He doesn't know that true Christianity and true education has beauty as well as strength. And so I never hasten to say anything, but I go on to the next, and that is beauty. Young people, I want you to stand, but I want you to stand properly, gracefully, lovingly. One has said, never mind the beautiful, just give me the useful and the durable. No, let that one look at the yellow gold of the grain field, the emerald green of the meadow, the silver white of the lake, the purple blue of the sky, the fresh green of spring, the snowy white of winter, the sevenfold beauty of the rainbow, the glory of the sunset, the towering mountains with their ceaseless shadows. Let that one look at God's handiwork. Let him go out and look at one of the trees in the springtime with its strong trunk and yet its beautiful coat. God blends strength and beauty. And God wants you to have strength, and God wants you to have beauty in the same personality. Young people who are graduating as you go out from Hammond Baptist High School and First Baptist Church, and I'll be honest with you, I hate to think of you leaving. I hate to think of you leaving. But as you go out, and as you say, people ask you, where are you from? And you say, Hammond. The first thing they'll say, you go to First Baptist Church, Hammond? Yes, I'm from First Baptist Church. Is that where Dr. Jack Hiles is pastor? Yes, that's where Brother Hiles is pastor. I want them to look at you as they follow you down the JCPenney store, or notice you on the ranch, or notice you on the street, or notice you at college. I want them to look at you and say, strength and beauty are in those kids. We're sitting up, Dr. Robertson and I at Tennessee Temple College, we're sitting on the platform before I preached one night, and down walked little Carmen Torres, one of our Spanish-speaking girls. And Dr. Robertson said, Dr. Hiles, isn't that one of your girls? And I said, yes, it is. He said, she's one of the finest girls we have. That's right. And I said, thank you. And my mind wandered back to a little note that I got, a letter from Albuquerque, New Mexico, from a little lady that said, we're moving to Hammond. We don't have any money. And I was wondering if you could come by and help us a little bit. We have just have to move anywhere we can. It was signed, Mrs. Torres. And I sent one of the staff members over to East Chicago to a simple little place, and there was a house full of Spanish-speaking children. And the little Torres girl came to our Sunday school, and she got saved. And then off to Tennessee Temple College. And Dr. Robertson said, she's one of the finest girls we have. And I swell with pride. And I recall the time when little Carmen came home. She said, Brother Hiles, she said, I'm going to quit college. And I said, don't talk to me. She said, Brother Hiles, don't you love me? I said, sure, I love you. I go back to school. But she said, I've been disappointed in love. I said, who hasn't? She said, Brother Hiles. She said, he quit me. I said, congratulations. But she said, Brother Hiles, I don't want to go back. I said, go back. He that putteth his hand to the plow and turns back is not worthy of the kingdom of God. Stay. She said, you're mad at me. And I said, no, I'm not mad, but I'm ashamed of you. Now get back in school. She said, I don't have any money. I said, God does. She walked out of the office and said, I'll go. I saw her not long ago, and she said, the finest thing that ever happened to me was that day you made me go back to school. Young people, I want you to have strength. I want you to stand. I want you always to believe right and hate wrong and flee the evil one and yield not to temptation. But I want you to be lovely Christian. I want you to be on the campus of the colleges where you go or the places you work. I want you to be the kind, the most gracious, the most friendly, and yet the kind that pay your debts on time. The kind that don't do evil and no soft prey and don't cheat on tests and earn what's yours and be the kind you ought to be. And yet at the same time, be lovely, sweet Christians, the kind that has grace as well as charm. I could go on and on. I won't. But that's what I want for you. And so the psalmist looked and he said, look at the temple. I love thy tabernacle, O Lord. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. How amiable are thy tabernacles. Enter into his courts with thanksgiving, to his gates with praise. Oh, the Lord is merciful. Look at those pigeons. I wish I could live up in the house of God all the time. The psalmist said, strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. But I say to the world, don't look at our building. I love this building. I love it. It's pretty enough for anybody and not too pretty for anybody. It's my kind of building. I like it. But I'm not real proud of it. You know who I'm proud of? I'm proud of Rick Wainscott. Rick Wainscott. I thought about Rick Newman. I'm proud of Rick Wainscott, too. I'm proud of Rick Newman. 6'5". Basketball player. Plays his heart out to win. Chosen on the all-tournament team of our tournament we had at our school. And yet, God bless him, Rick gets more excited about soul winning than does about basketball. I want to say strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Rick and Sandy came to my office one day and said, Brother, one night, said, Brother House, we want to have the best testimony we can for God in our senior year. We want you to help us know how. That's what I want. God knows that's what I want. I've said to David since he was a little tyke, son, be a gentleman, but be a man. Be a gentleman, but be a man. I want you fellas to be men. I want you to be athletes, strong, men of courage, men of conviction. Yet I want you to open the door for ladies. Like one fellow said on the train the other day, lady got on, he said, which other two fellows are going to join me in giving this lady a seat? You'll get that after a while. She was well, not well proportioned. I want you to get up when ladies come in the room and give them your seat. I want you to know how to behave when you go to a symphony concert. I want you to go to an opera and not make a fool of yourself. Yet I want you to be able to go to the ball field and not make a fool of yourself. I want you to know how to put a minnow on the end of a hook, and yet I want you to know how to balance a teacup on your knee, and I want you to enjoy putting the minnow on more than the teacup. Somebody said, Brother Howe, do you think it's wrong for a boy to take piano lessons? No, but it's wrong for him to like to practice. I wouldn't give you a dime for a kid that doesn't gripe when it's piano practice in time. By the way, make him do it if he has time to play ball and do that too. Have no greater joy as a pastor. None. Mrs. Smith, Tom wrote a book. Can you feature that? My preacher boy's writing books and selling them to my members. You tell him I'm working this side of the street. I read it for the day. It's not bad. You like it. Is that an unbiased opinion? I wanted to hear a real unbiased opinion. Somebody that doesn't, you know, think too highly of the author. I asked his mother. But I read the book. And, he'll iron out a few kinks, just like all of us will. But it's good. It's good. The thoughts and the philosophies are very fine. And as I put it down, I thought, that's the kid, the old fat, pudgy kid I used to go soul winning with. That's who it is. And I thought, strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Dr. Bill Rice saw me the other day at Atlanta, Georgia, at the committee meeting. He said, hey, you know how to be. Hey, Brother Jack. And I said, hi, Dr. Bill. And he said, I went over and spent a day with David Loser over at Tenley Park, Illinois. Big day. He said, you know, that kid's just 22 or 23 years old. But he's got it. He's got it. He said, that fella has maturity and sense and he stands. He's got it. And I said, thanks. And I thought, strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Kids, make us proud of you. Please, make us proud of you. You don't know. It's not much to you when you get shipped back home in college, but it breaks our hearts. Make us proud of you. And may it always be said about our kids. Strength and beauty. Honor and majesty, grace and truth, love and hate, zeal and knowledge are in their sanctuaries. Let us bow our heads for prayer, please.
Father, bless all of our people tonight. May the message apply to everyone, the old as well as the young, the layman as well as the preacher, the illiterate as well as the learned. May it apply to all. May our lives be strong and yet beautiful, full of zeal and yet full of knowledge, full of honor and yet full of majesty, full of strength and yet full of beauty. May our choir always perform the best, but may they perform in proper length skirts. May our boys always know when to dress properly. Our girls always be appropriate. May our people be full of strength and beauty. And may it be said of our people, as it was said of the man of Galilee, who walked the shores of Galilee, the sandy hills of Judea. And John the Baptist pointed to him and said, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Our heads are bowed in prayer and our eyes are closed. May I ask you a question tonight? Have you stood? Are you full of truth? Is strength in your sanctuary? Or are you wishy-washy? Do you just cater to the crowd? Appease the crowd. Go with the majority. And give in. Do what you know is wrong to do. Or do you have strength, integrity, character, decency, principle? Do you have it? Do you have it? A fellow said this morning, said, "I've been drunk 3 times this week. What advice can you give me?" I said, "Just quit drinking. Just quit drinking. Don't touch it." Have you given in? Have you compromised? Now on the other side, may I ask this question? Have you had a bad spirit? Hey kids, have you fussed at your brothers and sisters too much? Have you been rude to your moms and dads? Oh, you go soul winning. And you don't go to the dances. But are you nice? Friendly? Courteous? I'd like for every person in the house tonight just to ask yourself, are you heavy on strength and light on beauty? Or are you heavy on beauty and light on strength? I wonder how many would say tonight, Brother Hiles, somewhere in your sermon tonight, God spoke to me about a deficiency in my life. Maybe it's a strength deficiency or a beauty deficiency. Maybe it's a grace deficiency or a truth deficiency. Maybe it's an honor deficiency or a majesty deficiency. Maybe it's a zeal deficiency or a knowledge deficiency. But I've seen tonight in my life a spiritual need. And I wish you'd pray for me. Would you raise your hand, please? All over the house. All over the house. God bless you. There are many hands. Are there others? Are there others? Yes, are there others? God bless you. Father, may we leave tonight full of grace and truth. Bless these dear ones. With our heads bowed, in a few moments we're going to sing. When we do, you know what the altar's for. You use it every Sunday night. It's yours. Take advantage of it. Maybe you ought to come tonight and seek truth. Or maybe you ought to come and seek grace. Maybe you ought to come tonight and ask God to forgive you for the way you've been treating your mother or your brother or your sister. Maybe you ought to come tonight and ask God to forgive you because you've been unkind and had a bad spirit. Maybe it's your tongue. Maybe it's your attitude. Maybe it's a critical disposition. Maybe you ought to come. On the other hand, maybe you've said yes to the temptation of the world. Maybe you've not been willing to stand alone and walk alone.